Hello and welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution. We want to thank you for joining us tonight. Tika and I are so thankful because, again, we know that it is football season and we do have many football fans that we know of, and I'm sure you guys and girls or ladies are tuning in tonight or wanting to tune into your favorite football shows or teams. So thank you for tuning in to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution. Before we get started, I just want to make sure, Tika, you are online with us?
I'm here, yes.
Okay, great. Again, thanks to everyone. We're going to move right along into the show. This is a new kind of show for us because, again, we're wanting you guys out there to bring us some of your favorite topics, whether it's something that you have been pondering on, something that's going on in your own life or something that's going on with a friend, family member, or just something maybe you've heard of, you know, on TV or radio or in general conversation that you have with, you know, at work or friends or families and things like that. So we are hopeful that you have some things to share tonight. If you don't, I think Tika and I have quite enough for you. But, again, we're hopeful that you do have something that you want to bring to the table that we can maybe have an open discussion about. Before we get going, just as a reminder, keep in mind that if you are listening online, select the number one if you have a comment or a question. If you're listening, if you're listening by phone, select the number one if you have a comment or a question. If you're listening online and you don't want to come through the phone line, you can always send us something through the chat line, and I'm going to go ahead and open that up. And if someone's out there listening online, if you don't mind, just we don't get a lot of those. I think we've had one that we may have missed. So if you're listening online, go ahead and send something, if nothing else, but just to say, you know, hello, we're listening online, and if you want to send your question or a comment through that way, go ahead and do that as well. So without further ado, we're just going to move forward. Tika, do you have anything before I get started?
I would. If I could just, before we begin, if I could just make emphasis on the fact that we're all different and we all have different thoughts, different opinions, different perceptions, understanding, and beliefs as well. So there will rarely ever be a time when a caller or us will be 100% agreed upon. So with this, just to recognize that everyone's entitled to their own opinion. It doesn't change your opinion or what you believe, or it doesn't, we're not trying to force you to agree with or join in with anyone else's opinion, but just to simply understand that everybody has their own opinions that they're entitled to, and our show is just about to make a difference and create positive change. And so if we can just all take that into account and knowing that this is all to, you know, we're listening to learn from others and hopefully for others to teach us as well. So with this being our aim, let's make a difference.
Right. And there's some other things that Tika and I want to share, and I think it may be better if we do it towards the end of the show. Just kind of last week's topic was a very emotional topic, I think, for some people. Some that came on air, some that just listened as well, and didn't really get a chance or didn't want to really even come on air to kind of express how they were feeling about their own situation. So after that show, I think it is necessary that we kind of get some things out, and we'll do that towards the end of the show. Just some kind of housekeeping tips and about being, you know, respectful and, like Tika says,
right.
You're not going to ever agree. You can have, you know, even within your family, there's not going to be a person that always agree with you. So we have to agree to be different, respectful, and be positive about the differences that people, you know, have. And because a lot of the ways or the things that we have or reasons that we do things is because of our childhood is different, our culture is different, our lives are different. Circumstances are different. So whereas one person may be something very positive, someone else may hurt from it because they've experienced it differently or so forth. So, if you're listening out there and you do have something that you want to share tonight, go ahead and select the number one because, again, we don't want to wait until the very end of the show to get you going.
And the callers, yeah.
and get those out. We're going to have a short show tonight because, again, we know that football is up and running and we don't want to keep you. So we're just going to get going. And, again, if you do have something that you want to share, go ahead and select the number one because we'll bring you in right away. I'm going to move forward with the things, some of the things that I mentioned and that I had kind of on my mind and for quite a while now. A few of them, reality versus truth, people of the lie. It's my second one is people of the lie, and I'm going to incorporate self-love versus self-esteem into that. Toxic relationships is another one, and the economy. So, again, we'll just cover these things if we have time to get through all of them, but we do want to hear yours as well. And reality versus truth, basically my take on that, and I came up with this based on just hearing consistently about reality shows. The most popular one that I would hear about is Basketball Wives. And this is the one, I don't know her name, Shaq's wife, right, is the producer of. And
right.
I can't think of
her name. Yeah, I don't know her name either.
My concern or my, and I want to hear from others on this because in no way I'm saying that because you watch it, you know, you're this bad person or anything like that. But I want to hear from some of the people who watch it, some of the people who tried to watch it and for whatever reason just can't. That's kind of my take on it. I knew about it, but I had an acquaintance tell me, and it was a male, so I was even more taken by it because I didn't realize that males watched it, but I guess it's watched by male and female. So, but he told me that I reminded him of one of the ladies on there, and her name is Tammy. So, of course, I thought, well, I want to see this because if there's somebody on there that reminds him of me, I want to know who it is and how is she and so forth. So I watched it.
Oh,
needless semi-offended, but and maybe it was just the episode that I happened to watch because, of course, she was, as Tammy does, you know, she, I think, must, I don't know if that's character or whatever, but I've heard that that's kind of the way it is just on a number of the shows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But went on to explain that it was because she was feisty, not really her attitude or her need to, I guess, react to some things the way that she did, but it was her feistiness is what reminded him of me. So I was like, okay, well, maybe. Still, I didn't quite agree. So that's kind of how I ended up wanting to really sit and watch an episode.
See what it was all about.
Right. But taking it a little deeper, I had the opportunity to, I was traveling several months ago, I think March or so, and this was not about a reality show, but it was one of the magazines that I guess people frequently read. It's one of those star magazines, and this lady, and what I'm sharing with you tonight, I shared with her as well. She advised me that she loved to read those kind of star magazine, and basically it's just, you know, this magazine that informs people of what
they're
doing. Right. And so I asked her, you know, what makes you, you know, she's a mother? Well, let's back up. She's a godly person, not that that makes her not, but she's a wife, she's a mother, she's a daughter, a sister, an aunt. And she said that it just makes her feel better about her own life. And to me that, I thought, wow. And it was interesting to hear that. So, of course, you know, I didn't say anything right then, but that left with me, even to the point where I was taking a shower in my room that night, well, a few nights later, and I could hear her saying that again. So, I, you know, when that happens, I have to go back, like, say more. And I thought that was really sad, and I shared that with her. I said, you know, I was taking a shower, and I thought about what you said, and that really disturbs me because what that says is that she's not content with her life. She's not content with her own life. She's not happy with the person that she is. And so that is a miserable place to be. And so to take it further, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as well, when you're a mother and you feel that way, what are you teaching your kids? What kind of positiveness are you giving your kids?
Because that comes from you, whether you think you're teaching it or not.
You are actually teaching
what you don't even realize what you're actually instilling
right.
in them.
Right.
A lack of self-esteem.
A lack of self-esteem, which that's kind of going to come in tonight as well. So I see that we do have a caller, and I'm going to take that caller in real quick, but I just, because maybe that caller has something to say about reality versus truth. But in speaking about the reality shows, you know, look at the number of shows that are already on consistently, week after week after week. And, y'all, they are bringing more.
They've actually drowned the network reality shows.
Right.
I can't think of anything up on TV that are not reality shows. Mm-hmm. They are.
Right.
I don't even see how they're able to put them in, but they are.
There's Lala and Snooki. I want to get this in because I knew nothing about Snooki until President Obama one early morning that they come on because he comes on. Her name is Snooki. And one of the questions that they were going to ask President Obama, or one of the questions that they did ask him on the show was he familiar with Snooki? Did he know who Snooki was? And he said yes, and, you know, they were kind of back and forth about Snooki. And I felt just really out of touch because here it is, you know, our president is on TV, and he knows who Snooki is. And I'm thinking, I don't know who Snooki is. So I actually did a search for Snooki and learned that Snooki was who she was. And I didn't see the relevance in that with our president. Right. Like, there's so many things you can ask him about other than Snooki. To make matters worse, Snooki was hired by a high school or graduation to do their
speech?
Yes, graduation speech, whatever is the proper word for that, you guys, and it's gone. And she was paid approximately $40,000 to do this.
America. Wow.
So.
Wow.
That's,
I didn't know that.
I mean, yeah, she was paid approximately $40,000 to speak to the graduation ceremony. I don't know what she could have had to say that cost or was worth $40,000. And I can only, I don't know her personally, but I'm only speaking from what she portrays. What she does, because I don't think it's a positive thing that she portrays. And then there's Sister Wives. There's that one, you know, I've never watched that one, but I just saw this weekend that the episode, I guess it did play sometime or another, it was on, because they're coming back with a new season, and they kind of showed a little bit of things that they were going to be doing this season on that. There's 8+8. We don't have to say much about that. Everybody knows who they are now.
Right.
There was Fantasia.
Was
there was
one
Keisha
that
Cole.
Was crazy to me.
Which one?
Remember, Flavor of Love, Flavor Flav.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Yeah, Flavor
that
of Love.
Was.
I forgot about.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. And don't forget, guys, if you have something you want to share tonight, we lost the caller that was there, but we'll just keep going. So again, that's kind of what we were talking about with reality versus truth. And if for those of you who watch it, if there's someone out there listening and you do watch, you know, the reality shows as such, I want to hear what it does for you. And again, it doesn't mean that it's a bad thing that you watch it. I think if we are watching it, we should make sure that we're not watching it because it makes us feel better to see someone else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. See someone else go through this or do this to make us feel better. We certainly don't want to portray that to our young girls. We don't need any more broken women trying to heal at the age of 30+. So we need to capture the young girls now and build their self-esteem now. No callers, so I'm going to keep going. Another thing was...
I wonder if people really see it as purely entertainment, or they really believe that it's a reality show because it has the name reality attached to it?
Well, see, I always thought reality was a unjust word for the
right,
show.
Right, because it's just a lack of reality, I feel.
Yeah.
It's entertainment.
Because I think a lot of it is rehearsed and
entertainment, and it's expected to grab ratings. So they're going to give you as much drama. Drama gets ratings. So the more drama, the higher the rating, the longer the show will stay on air.
Right. And for young girls, for those of you who are listening, you know, should young girls be allowed to watch it? And if so, at what age should they start?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because by the time you get home, eat, do your homework, and get ready for bed, you know, do you have time to sit up and watch Tammy? And I don't know any of the others' names on there, but do you have time to sit up and watch? And if you do, what are your daughters, and I guess young boys as well, because if men are watching, and I'm assuming boys are as well, what are they getting from it? Do you talk about it afterwards? I used to let Brandon, it just was something that we did. I used to let him watch almost anything, I think, but
mm-hmm.
we talked about it, and I think it was
right.
Okay, we had really an open communication, and if he was going to see some stuff, I wanted him to see it in the house so that I could see how he was reacting to it, if he thought that this was a way to act, but I don't know if that's really happening now, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would really let him at this day and time just go with it, and at that age,
watch anything.
You know,
mm-hmm.
at such a young
you
age,
know.
Watch the shows.
It's one show that's out that I heard about it, and I thought at first it's called 16 and Pregnant. When I first heard it, I thought, who in the world would want to, I guess, glorify this type of a subject? And so when I heard about it at work, because hairstylist, you know, you hear everything in the salon. I heard about it at work, and I'm thinking, Lord, who would let their children watch that? And one weekend I was sitting home, and, you know, I'm at the computer, and then I hear a lot of drama going on and crying, and I go over to see what my girls are watching. I'm like, what are y'all watching? They're like 16 and Pregnant. I'm like, uh-uh, that sounds like nonsense. Turn it off. And they're like, no, Mom, it's really good. And so I said, okay, let me see it just before I say turn it off, because I had an instant rejection towards, I don't want to see it. It has to be nonsense. I sat down and I watched, and I think they had a marathon going on. I sat down and watched a few episodes, and even though it's not something I think is good to glorify, but then it also brings a realistic approach to this, because it was dealing with real reality. It may have added a little bit of drama in there, but you saw a lot of the teenagers saying the things that they did based on how they were rebellious towards their parents. They were very rebellious on breaking rules, didn't want to stick with the rules of the school, and kind of want to do their own thing, and didn't want to be told who they could and could not date. And this wound up being the consequences to their actions. And so in the end, you saw them crying, wishing they, you know, a lot of times they were saying, if I had it to do all over again. A lot of times it was relationships. The majority of the time it's relationships that don't stay because they're 16 and pregnant, and usually the boyfriend is 16 or 17. So he's a child as well. And a lot of times he doesn't have a job or needs to work. And so they live in with either her parents or his parents. But it made me to where when we turned it off and I sat and I talked with my girls, asking them, you know, what did they feel about that and what did they get out of it? And the first thing that came out of their mouths was, I'm glad that's not me. And this is showing me what I don't want to do. I don't want to be 16 and pregnant. I don't want to be a mother at this young of an age, because it didn't really glorify it. It brought some real life into these little girls saying if they had it to do all over again. And you know, really apologizing to their parents for their behaviors, apologizing to some of the people in the school and the way they were treated. And also, you know, when they couldn't go to proms and when they, you know, was walking through schools and all eyes would be on them, or walking through the malls and all eyes would be on them, they were grabbing the type of attention that they weren't expecting. Even though these were attention getters in the beginning, this type of attention, it tended to be a negative form of attention, and it wasn't something that they enjoyed in the end. And so it was something different brought to the table for my girls to see, especially being my oldest daughter is a teenager, and the other two are kind of following right behind her. They're not far from her, but since they have this older sister, it feels like I have three teenagers, even though I only have one teenager. And so some shows like that, even though it didn't glorify it, it brought some truth to it, showing that this is not a pretty walk. This is not going to be glamorous. And the real deal is getting a job and taking care of this baby. And what are you going to do next? It's the what are you going to do next.
See, I heard some, I guess it was a study or just kind of a show about some of the reality shows. And one of the shows, and I totally forgot about that one, Tika, thank you for bringing it up. But one of the speakers for that little study thought that it was a way, and there's always going to be, you can find some good out of anything. And I think what's missing probably is people are not sitting down, number one, watching it with their children, number two, talking with them. They're not discussing, just seeing, what do you think about that, and what would you do differently if that were you, and so to speak. But the things that they brought up during the study or during the show was that it may be a way for girls to see themselves on TV. I'm all for, I could see where this kind of show would be beneficial to bring it in such a light where it's, you can become famous for it. To me, put that a whole nother level. But I guess whatever it takes, if it works, it works. But I think I've seen one or two episodes of that show as well. And I guess what got me is the disrespect at that age to their parents. The disrespect. The couple of episodes I saw, it was totally, I mean, it would have gone from 16 and pregnant to 16 and dead, because the disrespect, that TV or not, that was just, that's what I, and I couldn't watch it beyond that. Forget the 16 and pregnant, you're 16 and I'm your mom or dad or whatever. They were totally disrespected, the episode that I actually had a chance to watch. So, again, listeners, if you have something particularly about the reality shows, that's what we were just speaking about, if you allow your children to watch it or if you watch it, share why. Like, some people watch it because it's pure entertainment to them. Some watch it because of what the lady told me. It makes them, makes her feel better about her life. So if you got something to share, remember, press the number one. And we're going to keep going. So if you figure out that or decide you want to share something on that later during the show, please feel free to do so. Another thing that I wanted to bring up, as it relates a little to reality versus truth, I was out Saturday. This is about name brand purses or whatever you consider to be name brand. It could be shoes or whatever. But the hot item these days seem to be the name brand purses. These are your $400, $500 purses, if not more. And as I was, and this is not something that's just come about, but this just happened to.
It's been going around for a while.
But I was out Saturday, and I'd gone to a couple of yard sales and things like that, and was at this particular place for a friend of mine looking at some things. And this guy and his wife, they have this house that they kind of sell things. They buy things, and they put it in this house, and so they sell them. They pull it out on Saturday, Friday and Saturday, actually, to sell. And I was there actually Friday. And I went back Saturday, and the wife was there. The wife of this guy was there. And she had some purses that she was selling as well, and she made it quite a point of, for me to know that, you know, and I believe the name brand was either, and I could have this wrong, Katie or Kathy was the actual name of the purse. Well, I have heard of the Coach and the Dooney and Burt and some other things, but I had never heard of Katie or Kathy, and again, I might have that wrong. But she went on and on and on, too much so for me, too much into depth about, well, it's name brand, and that's all I wear or carry. If it's not name brand, I don't want it, and so forth and so forth. To the point, I'm thinking, what is it about this purse? What is it about what you're telling me that's supposed to make me?
That defines you.
I'm supposed to be getting something out of this. You're saying it too much. You're putting too much emphasis on the fact that you carry nothing but name brand purses. To me, I just don't see the point in paying. I've known women have $100 purse, $300 purse, and not have $30 in the bank. Or
right.
You have
it's to pay the status.
Right, and you need an extension. That's insane to me. I'm not saying, mm-hmm. and again, this goes back to kind of the reality shows. If you carry those things because, number one, you can afford it, and you're not lacking in other places financially.
As far as your priorities, right.
Right, you don't have, you know, children that you've not put $100 in an account for them that can grow, but you've put $300-$400 in a purse. You've not planned what's going to happen after you leave
right.
this world. You know, I have a problem. If you have a $300 purse and you don't have a life insurance policy, or even if you pay for your own funeral, I'm sorry, I have an issue with that. Or it's just, and if you, again, if you're carrying it because you think that it brings you some type of status quo, it makes you look smart.
Mm-hmm. Here.
Mm-hmm. So, again, if you have something to share on that, because maybe there's other reasons that maybe it's just because you like it. But I've seen purses that are very, very similar, if you're thinking about the color, the look, that don't cost $400 or $500. They don't cost
right.
$20. And they serve the same
purpose.
We're not driving the purses, we're not eating the purses. I you have purses.
Providing shelter. Yes.
So, but you, there's not one that I don't think I have a purse that I've paid more than $40 for. And I believe the $40 purse was so long ago. And what really got me is it tore up before my real cheap ones. It didn't last as long. And so it just doesn't make sense to me.
I can add to that because, I have purchased a few of the designer purses. And I purchased them. I remember the first time I purchased one is because that's what my friends had and that's what, you know, everybody was carrying. That's what I saw in a lot of the magazines because I've always, you know, been a fan of fashion magazines and the fashion industry. So I wanted to carry what, you know, I saw in the magazines. But it was something that, you know, occasionally if I have the money for it, I'll get it. But it's not something that as soon as I have a few extra dollars, I would run and get. And I can actually say that I have one purse that I brought probably about 7-8 years ago that still looks new because it's still something that I can care for a little while and then put away and carry it occasionally. And even though at one point in time I wanted to just have my own little collection of it, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to have a collection of Doonies. I like them all. When I started realizing that, okay, how much sense does it make for me to spend $300-$400 for a purse when, you know, like you said, life insurance policy, savings account, preparation for the future as far as just a rainy day or any type of retirement investments, anything like that that I could really apply my money towards that could grow from me and prepare me for my future or my retirement. When you start thinking of it that way, it's like I saw it as, okay, it's okay to treat myself occasionally, but I don't need a collection of them. I don't need to see them stacked all across the top of my closet because that's not going to bring me that form of security that I think maybe some people see that in it. I know at the time I didn't think that it brought me security, anything like that. I just walked what I saw in the magazines, and it wasn't even always what I saw everybody with, because when I first really got into it, I had a friend that had one, but it wasn't something that everybody had until we got older, and of course we were old enough to purchase them. But I mean, I love them, but I'm fine without them as well. I purchased just a few in my lifetime, but then, you know, I love going and buying a $20, $30, $40 purse as well that, like you said, holds the same purpose. But I don't have to walk around with the status of I have a $400 purse on my arm because it makes you feel a certain way, that's only a feeling, and your feelings are driven by emotions, and that's not the path you really want to take in life based on how this makes you feel, this item.
Right. Right, and that's mm-hmm. what I think it becomes. That's where the issue comes in when you use it. It makes you feel better, and I think a lot of people fall into that rather than deal with themselves and the issue that makes them want to go spend that money before sometimes they've paid their bill or before they mm-hmm. did things for priority. I don't see how in the world single mothers can are able to do that. I have one, or had one, and I I never, I guess maybe I could have, but it, I just didn't, it always frightened me to go and spend, it would frighten me to spend that much money on something and not have this put aside for something else, so to speak. But it happened. So we have a few callers out. Have a caller from the 951 area code, the last four is 0281. You're on air with us.
Hey, Tika. Hey, Tammy. This is Pushette. I am definitely guilty of that. Just having don't be talking in the background. Definitely guilty of the name brand stuff to the point to where I was addicted. Like, I had to go get help. I had to go get help, and it's really not help out there for it, which, like, you know, for alcohol and drugs, there's always help for that, but it's not one for things like this. So it was so bad that I didn't even want to pray it off of me because it was my outlet. I just liked the way it felt when I bought that purse or when I bought that item. It just felt good, but only for that moment, and then I felt guilty. But then, I mean, it was so bad on me to where financially for my family, it was just an hardship on my family. Like, we were almost losing things. I don't even know how we made it. It was just that bad. So mine kind of graduated.
Let me ask.
Go ahead.
When you said it, how it made you feel at the time, how did it make you feel? Just tell us a little bit more about that, if you don't mind. How did it make you feel at that time? What was the... Because there's this high, I'm sure, that came with it.
It's like a euphoric feeling. You know, it's almost like a high you get.
Uh-huh.
It's so euphoric. You just feel, I don't know, it's just like if you crave food and you have, you know, you use food as comfort. It's just that feeling you get when you're upset and you go have that gallon of ice cream. It's a temporary fix.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or when I got the stuff, and I don't think that I got it for status or whatever. I like the stuff, and even now, some things I will still buy, but I'm more smart about it. I'll buy it if it's on sale or clearance or something like that. But I don't have to have it now. I prayed on it. Yeah, I prayed on it. And I realized that I was in bondage. I was deep in bondage to these things and these items. And now, even still, if I buy something, I'll be like, sometimes I'll go grab something. I'll be like, okay, Lord, who is this for? Because sometimes I know I'm wrong. I'm not even supposed to buy this stuff. And eventually, I have to give it away. If I do buy it, I'll give it away. But I don't do it as much as I used to. I mean, I'm talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. It was, if I walked outside in the day,
like
then,
it.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. It was, to walk out in a day and spend $50 for me was when I say that was an excellent day, my husband would be like, phew. But to go out and spend $500 or $1,000 in a day, that would be a weekend for me. You know, that was, and I did almost halfway decent with that. So I'm glad to say it was just an addiction. It wasn't a status. I don't know if it was ever a status. I do believe that it is quality and some stuff, because I did try to buy cheaper purses and stuff, and they just, the ones that I bought just didn't work out for me. But I have found a cheap purse now, what I consider to be cheaper, and that's Vera Bradley. It's not like buying a Coach or Louis. I would pay $40 for one of those, and they last fine, and I'm happy. But yeah, that's my story. That stuff.
Like you said, you knew it was bondage, and it was like an addiction.
Yes.
And like you said, the sad part is there's no help out there for this type of shopping addiction.
It's none. And I just happened to watch T.D. Jakes, and then was at church one time, and he just saying, you're in bondage for this stuff. You're working hard for this stuff. You know what I mean? And then when you look at the Amish people who make their stuff, who bake their foods and, you know, kind of work, their life is, it appeared to be simpler. And it's like the more things you have, the more complex and more stressful
stress.
It happens like we overload on stuff.
So, Shay, let me ask you a question. When, at that time, looking back now, would you say that there was something in your life that was missing that you have maybe dealt with now? Do you think you just simply got over it? Do you think that there was something going on that this became a blanket for, so to speak?
Okay.
I think that it was an outlet for me, and that was my only outlet. Like, I didn't have – some people can go scrapbook or what have you and, you know, to get away, but that was my outlet, and it was my only outlet, and which grew into an addiction.
Okay.
So that's what it was for me.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out. So thank you for sharing. We are thankful that you are over that addiction.
Yeah. I'm still working on it, girl. Yeah, but I'm over it.
Put them on eBay. Put those purses on eBay.
I just recycle
get some of
them
money
now.
Back.
I bet she doesn't even have all of them anymore. Like she said, she gives them away.
I give them away. I give them stuff away. So I just make it be a blessing to somebody else.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for sharing. We have another caller that's wanting to get in, but thank you. So just stay with us, and if you won't feel the need to come back in, because we've got a lot more to share, just to let reselect the number one, okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I believe we have Ms. Kim online with us.
Hey.
Kim, are you there? Hi, how are you?
Hello, Kim.
I'm great. Thank you. I'm great. Good topic. Awesome topic. The first topic that you were talking about is reality shows. Those shows are actually, they're set to be addictive because you want to know what happened. You know, like basketball-wise for me. I want to know what craziness they're going to do. So you're going to go to the next day. You're going to watch it the next day. You're going to watch the reruns. You're going to watch it when they come on again. So I think you want to just kind of see the foolishness that they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
As far as
it's
something
like
they talk about, you know.
It's like a seed just planted, and it's like, like fertilizing that seed. Just it builds to because you're curious on what's getting ready to happen next.
Right. Now, I'll tell you something that I did watch when it first came on was Flavor Flav.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the silliest shows I had ever seen, but I was watching it.
Wow.
You know, because it gets you caught up. I mean, seriously, you like, I am not going to watch this show. And
did you find yourself asking, why am I watching this? Why am I watching this?
It's like a deer in headlights. You're just sitting there looking at it. you know it's stupid, and you know it's silly, and you know the ladies are so disrespectful. And it makes other women look really disrespectful. But you look at it like, I can't believe you're doing that.
You just watched it because it became an addiction? You just watched it because it became an addiction to you, so to speak?
Well, what I mean is, like, not really an addiction. It's really like you want to know what happens next. Who is he going to eliminate? Who is he going to stay with? You know, it was that kind of, that intensity it built. You know, from one show to the next show.
Right, because that's one of those elimination type shows.
Yeah, it reels you in.
It reels you in
because you want to know who's going to end up being with. You know, what silliness are they going to do? Who's going to fight who? Who's going to spit on who? You know.
So, Kim, do you think young girls should be able to watch it?
I don't think it's appropriate. I think that they should be censored on some of these reality shows. I think on 90% of these reality shows, there should be a censor on it. And the parents should know what their kids are watching.
Okay.
Because a lot of them are not for teenagers or not for kids.
That's true.
Flavor Flav was not for kids. Ray J was not for kids. Basketball-wise, okay, but who wants your child to hear the foul language that they use?
Right.
It's just kind of backstabbing.
I said, and the backstabbing, the gossip and things like that. I think they get that, right, in real life, so to speak. And the fact that parents are not talking, you know, it's like what we did Saturday with the group of girls. You know, sitting there, watching it with them, writing down notes, watching them, write down their notes so that they can ask their questions. It makes them see things in a different light. But if they're able to watch it alone and grasp their own opinion without anyone asking any additional questions, and to make them think it through to, okay, this, now that the TV is off, the program is over, what did you get from this?
Let's talk about it, yeah.
Because you
being able to, now, if you're going to sit down with your child, now, any parent that sit down with their child and watch Flavor Flav, number one, that's a problem. You know what I'm saying? I mean, all of the sex and all of the cussing and all of the fighting and all of that on there, why would you want your child to see something like that?
Yeah.
So they're thinking, hey, I can be a celebrity like New York. I can get a TV show like New York if I get on a reality show.
So what do you think about Keisha Cole and the Fantasia? Were they age appropriate, do you think?
Their show?
I never watched Keisha Cole. I never watched Fantasia show.
I watched a couple episodes of the Fantasia show with the girls because whatever they were watching, I wanted to see what they were watching and why they wanted to watch it. And Fantasia show, I think I only watched two episodes, and it wasn't really bad because it showed how her and her siblings weren't getting along, but then it showed how the grandmother came in like the rock to the family, saying how, you know, unity is what holds us together, and, you know, basically saying how that's the part of the world that we got to keep out of it. So I didn't see that as a damaging show, something that I would just forbid my children to see. That was something, and if I saw it and I say, don't watch this, then they weren't allowed to. But if I sat and I saw it and I could see that they'll be able to find a moral of the story and be able to know, how can I apply this to my life? Can I learn anything from this? Can I carry anything from this? And usually my girls could sit down and put together a pretty good assumption of what this show meant, because I would always say, so what moral of the story did you get from this show? And they would be able to put it together, I mean, very good from their perspective at the ages that my daughters are. And so the Fantasia was okay. I never did see Keisha Cole's show.
Keisha's, and it was the episode where her mother, I believe her mother was still in jail or maybe getting out. I looked at that one episode, and I kind of took a different, and I'm a Keisha Cole fan. I about her that I like, but I think, it seems to me, and this is just my opinion on that, it's that she used hers as a healing process and moved on. I don't know that's true, but that was just based on the one episode that I did see, and it was, I believe she was going to visit her mom while her mom was still incarcerated, or was just about to get out, or was scheduled to get out or something. So, you know, I thought that probably would have been a good topic or a good show to watch with young girls and be able to, you're able to, and you're the parenting part of it, you're able to bring in, you know, the struggles that she went through from not having some positive role models in her life, but from a parent aspect. Because I believe she did have the people adopted her forth. So, well, Kim, do you have anything on the name brand item?
I am a Marshall's TJ Maxx shopper.
Queen.
I am not a going to Dillard's or Macy's shopper, because I don't believe in paying. I live in an apartment. I can't pay my rent and buy a purse that costs $500. To me, that's insane. That's just to me. That's insane, because people, 9 times out of 10, when you see people that are carrying those really expensive purses, they don't have a pot to piss in. They don't have anything that they can say that they have, like you said, a bank account. They don't have a life insurance policy for their children. they are on most people
not
who
even
carry
sales, let alone
welfare. They're normally,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying welfare is bad, but I'm saying you taking that money that you get for welfare for your kids and go to Macy's and shop. You don't pay your rent to shop.
But maybe they application where, you know, where you go in and have to put down the items of value that you own, because I'm with you on that one. I don't think, and again, nothing against getting public assistance, nothing at all.
But
public assistance, right? That
right.
Money is not tied up
in
a handbag. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna tell you this. Last year, or year before last, I did that Zoom-a-thon for the toy. You know, we got toys for families that couldn't afford to take care of their kids as far as Christmas. So we had this one family that we took these bags of toys to. And we gave a gift card to the mom. We walked in, they acted as if we were supposed to give them that stuff.
Right, because you have a lot of people and they wait and they prey on stuff like that rather than getting a job and taking care of their business. And I don't care, because I tell people, if I lose my job today, I will be at Taco Bell in the morning and McDonald's or Burger King in the evening.
McDonald's.
I'll be whatever it is to put for it. But you have some people that just want you to
say, Tammy,
here.
But Tammy, this is what I'm trying to say. You look at when you go into these people's house, when we looked at the pictures that were on the TV thing, they at the club, hair done, nails done, clothes down to a T. Probably got a Dooney and Burke purse. But they
don't
kids
have money
can't
to
have
buy right.
But they
hair done, nails done, everything. Yep.
And that's the problem that I have about name brand stuff. And you know, and this is my thing, Tammy. Places like Macy's, places like Dillard's, those places prey on people who really can't afford to shop in there.
Yeah.
They give you a credit card. You can get a credit card. And then they charge them 40% interest or 30% interest on that credit card, because you know they're not going to pay the credit card off.
Right. But then that's where discipline lies in, and most of us start out, you know, what teaches you discipline, usually what teaches discipline is going through life. At one point in time, you weren't disciplined, and then you know the effects of where it wound up leading you. And so discipline usually comes from, it's a learned. You learn it. You actually learn it, and you learn what not to get and what not to do and what not to buy and to delay your gratification. That's a part of discipline. But it's not just going to be naturally inbred in you. It's a learned experience.
But, you know what, even if you can afford it, I really wonder about this, and I hope that I'm able one day to be tested on this. But if I one day just hit the lottery, I know I have to play in order to win, and maybe I should start playing. But if I did, I really wonder if that purse would become enticing to me. I really think not.
And I
hope one day I'm tested to have so much money.
Oh, yeah, because you will definitely be tested.
There's so many hungry people. There's so many. And Kim, you brought up a good point, because it has always been a question for me. Why is it so hard for us to help the people that we know? We'll go help someone that we don't know quicker than we will someone that we know. And I think it's because the person we know, we also know their bad spending habits. We know that they
We don't want to enable them or further handicap them in their frivolous spending.
That they have.
Yeah.
Are the ones that get the purses, getting the nails done, getting the toes done. When you sit back and you do your own nails, and now they're in a situation. I've always wondered, and that was my final conclusion, is that because we see, if we were able to study, or even if people were able to, before giving money, was able to study this person's lifestyle and say, okay, let's see what we can do to get you out of this situation without putting money in your hands.
Not just give you some money, right. Let's teach you how to
get you an education.
Right.
Let's get you an education,
get you a place. Yeah, it has to be education on finance and all that kind of thing. So.
Yeah.
But, okay, you guys, we have another caller, and I really want to get to people of the lie and the toxic relationship. Tika's going to cover that one. So thank you, Kim, and appreciate your feedback, appreciate your listening, and just hang in there with us, help about us, okay?
I will.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, I believe we have Tim online with us.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I was just listening to you guys. I mean, I think we all have made our mistakes, you know, have made bad decisions, you know, we've done things, you know, knowing that we're supposed to have taken care of this or taken care of that, you know, and I think it's basically just the moment. You know, some people will continue to do the same thing. Some people don't. And it's just life. You know, and I do think that I believe in quality shopping, but I just think that there are some things that you have to spend the money for, you know? I mean,
the purses and the things like that. So stereo equipment and things like that would be your things, huh?
Well, I don't know, the equipment. I mean, it could be equipment that I may use on the house, you know.
For the house, okay.
That's equipment, you know.
Because if you got a house, you have people that have house that, you know, and have a lawn, but don't have a lawnmower. Okay,
right,
so
that.
When you're talking about you need there's
I mean,
things that you need
see,
house
see,
that you need.
About it. See, that's the thing about it. I mean, a person can have a home, right, and don't have a lawnmower, right? But there are sources out there. People can. It may be cheaper for that person who has a home. They made a good investment when they got it. But they can go out there and rent one for $10 a month to take care of their lawn because that's all they can afford. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, what I'm saying is, what if that same person has the house and no lawn but the $400 purse? And the lawn is up to the knee. What those are the situations. Because you're
that's,
right.
That's
we're all
little,
we all
little,
have been there
crazy.
And that
that's
have bought some money on something that we should not have. But we're talking about when you take it to the extreme and when you ignore priorities.
It's going to happen. I mean, you know, I mean, until that person, unless I mean,
admit,
see the thing about it,
yeah.
I mean, it varies for everybody, right? There are people that make decisions based on that, okay, I can rebound in a day or so. There are people who make decisions that knowing damn well they can't rebound, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they're the ones that is going to really hurt from it. But, I mean, it's just life. I mean,
I guess
people make in-the-moment decisions.
Right, and I believe different things may drive you to do this. I believe some people may be driven to do when they had a lack of, say, when they were younger, so they may be driven to buy more or do things like that. So different things can drive you to do some things.
I mean, for a person 24 years old, you know, had it going on, you know, I mean, buying $80 shirts, I mean, you know, I'm spending $100 for a pair of pants and shirt. I mean, just something like that, right? Because I was comfortable, right? And so I wasn't really budgeting or anything, you know. I'm just spending, just enjoying myself, you know. But when you it takes for a person that's been there and you've lost it all, sometimes, and it depends on the situation.
Yeah,
I mean, and you grow.
And a lot of times with age, we are more immature with age. And we tend to spend
I mean, you would hope you grow from the mistakes you make, or even looking at the things on TV, right? About all the shows you're looking at, right? Y'all was talking about earlier. All this stuff comes into play. My thing is that there's nothing wrong with the shows. My point is that you look at the show, and you take what's useful. You know what's wrong. of things that you don't want to do. So you take the positive eyes from it and leave the negative there. So you can always get something from no matter what, no matter what it is.
A lot of things, right, right. I agree with
that. Right, so I mean, it takes, you got to be at a level and to want to do those things, want to budget, want to know that, you know, there's going to be a time in your life that you're not going to be able to work, you know.
And that comes with the level of maturity.
And you afford, I mean, then you look at yourself and say, okay, what am I doing to help myself to get to that point? You know, am I doing anything? You know, instead of waiting for somebody to give you something or whatever the case may be, or you think you're going to win something, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Have I done my part, you know? And
okay.
But if you're not doing anything, you're just sitting back and waiting, hey, it is what it is.
Well, a lot of things may be in that sitting back and waiting mode, and that's why, you know, I think it's important to talk and get it out, particularly to younger people, because we have the 40-plus people spending the money on the purses and not taking
mm-hmm.
care of responsibilities. So we could say that of course, there's been times where I've spent money that I should not have, just other areas. It wasn't $400 on a purse. It wasn't $400, period. But what I'm saying is we are at a point in life to where we do need to start talking about it, because it's not the 22-year-olds and the 23-year-olds only
it's
that
30,
are,
40,
that are making.
Right.
And
I mean, just like you got 40. Some people got, they got Mercedes, you know, real, I mean, brand new Mercedes living in an apartment. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it's crazy to me. You know, why not get a house? You know, some people invest money into cars.
Well, to piggyback on what you were saying initially, that's kind of what we're saying here. But the flip side of that, when you say it's just a part of life, what if that person with the Mercedes just doesn't want the house, doesn't want to deal with the upkeep and so forth, and that he'd rather get that Mercedes could be paid for, and he could have that much more in the bank, and he just doesn't want the. So it's kind of like what you said. It's just
you're
a part
being,
of life,
being,
and it
well,
is.
Well, regardless whether you want to deal with it or not, you're not being financially sound. It doesn't make sense because you're not using your money wisely. You're not using your money wisely. My point is that if you know you can afford a home, if you're paying $700 for an apartment, right? Okay, you know you can get some property, a home for $700 as well. You going to continue to live in an apartment because you don't want to worry about the upkeep?
I agree with what you're saying, but I was coming back to you because of what you said earlier about it's just a part of life and this and that. I'm just saying maybe that person that's in the apartment with the new Mercedes, and mind you, because he could be. The reason I'm bringing this up because I used to be the person that looked at the apartments and saw the nice cars until one day when I found out that this could be me. If I accepted a certain job position, I don't want to live in a house. I would prefer to be in an apartment for a limited time that I could be that same car being, not that it's Mercedes, but I could be this car in front of the apartment where somebody says, wow, she has this huge truck in front of an apartment. So what I'm saying is you don't know the circumstances of why people are maybe in an apartment. But if they are there and they wanted the Mercedes and didn't want a house because they don't want to, you know, do the yards or do the upkeep, because financially the interest rate on houses ain't that great. I guess you have to have 12%.
My park is below 4%. It's below 4% right now, to be honest. This is a great time to buy. If you got good credit, you know. So, I mean, and it's cheaper, to be honest.
No, I mean, it's interest rate, the perks that you get, tax reasons. I mean, you can. I remember really buying a house because I'm thinking I'll save so much on much more on taxes. I didn't see the great savings, is what I'm saying. So.
I'm saying it has that
your interest rate has to be 12, 13, 14 in order for you to see that on your taxes. You have to really count everything in order to see that on your taxes. So, but I understand what you're saying.
I reckon the gist of what I'm saying is that no matter what it is, right, you have to have some financial responsibility. You're going to need to be financially responsible for everything, no matter what it is, no matter how small it is, because right now times are too tough and it's rough for everybody. And if you don't prepare or continue to prepare, get yourself prepared for what may happen, you're gonna get left behind. And that's just the bottom line. I mean, you know, you just got to make smart financial decisions nowadays.
Sometimes that doesn't come until after hitting the bottom. Sometimes it takes hitting the bottom for it to kind of snap some sense into you, or you know, it's sometimes going through that hard time and that trying time, especially when you know that you were the reason that you're there. Sometimes it takes that to bring you into another light and to teach you lessons that you don't want to experience again, to teach you things.
Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. And you hope that it don't get that far.
I mean, life
is
a teacher itself. Life is a teacher. We don't have to learn from it, but it's wise to learn from our mistakes. So mistakes are a major teaching tool.
Yeah, and sometimes it takes you through them more than once. Because I remember Tika, the pastor, saying at church that you know, they were in financial debt at one time, and they were able to pay off all of their credit cards. And what did they do soon after? They got back in the same situation. So sometimes it takes more than one.
Right.
So I need to get it right. It's right.
Right.
So
whatever you don't learn from, you'll repeat. You will definitely repeat.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Kim. Anything else before we go on into the next topic for tonight? Anything else you want to share?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Okay. We don't have anyone else out, so I'm just going to move right into People of the Lie was my next one that I wanted to talk about, and Tika's going to go ahead and take over the toxic relationship part, and hopefully by then we'll have someone that's ready to share some additional information. And I talked a little bit about People of the Lie, I believe, in last week's show or the show prior to, and what I wanted to do is just kind of go back and give an explanation of what it's meant when you hear the phrase people of the lie. Basically, it's people who realize that something is wrong and that there's some kind of self-correction needed, but for whatever reason, they choose or decide that they don't know, basically that they're ignorant or oblivious to the self-correction that is needed in their life. And their greatest ability, and this, again, is the people of the lie, is distinguishing characteristics in the ability to lie to themselves as well as others. So, again, they just insist on being ignorant to the fact that there's some self-correction needed. And their main goal is to feel good about themselves, no matter the lie, no matter how they have to tell the lie over again to whomever. But at all cost, their goal is to feel good about themselves and to make themselves look good to others. And again, that's at all cost, at all times, no matter the cost, and in spite of knowing the truth. So that's kind of a brief description of people of the lie. And these are typically people that have lived the lie for so long until, I think, for a lot of times they can't see a way out. They'd have to expose the lie or deal with their own self-correcting would be like death to them. And they, because of that, they find some reality in their lies or the lie. So I really want people to think about that, because I think at some point, I do think that a lot of things that we've talked about tonight, if you are not important to yourself, and we're going to talk about that more, but when you feel not important, when you feel like your life is not important, when you feel like you've not quite measured up, I think it's easy to become a person of the lie. and you may not be to the extreme, but I think in some cases we all probably have been there, done that, where you wanted to feel more important, either, you know, to yourself and or to others. So for those of you out there listening, I want to really hear about people of the lie from you, and basically how self-esteem plays into this type of person versus self-love. So if there's someone out there that wants to kind of explain what they think self-esteem is, what self-love is, and how the, what part, if any, does it play into when dealing with people of the lie, or those people that you think hold on to their lies instead of truth, and they choose not to deal with what's going on inside of them, the things that they need to correct. And I am a true believer that when you start searching for God, not that we have to search, but when we decide to return to Him, for me, the first person He showed me was myself, and consistently, daily, He continues to. And there were some things that even now that I know that I need to work on, that, you know, that they are not pleasing to Him. So I think the first person He shows you is yourself, whether you choose to, like this explanation says, whether you can choose to carry on this characteristic and act as if it's not a lie, or you can choose to say, you know, it is what it is. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing in hopes of coming through this, basically, rather than just sit and waddle in it and continue to not grow, so to speak. So if someone's out there and they do want to share what self-love versus self-esteem is, or if you have something to share, and I'd like to hear some people about this. I'm going to just go to the line because the lights are lit up again, and I'm not sure if Plachette or Kim wants to come back in, but I'm just going to ask. Plachette, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Were you wanting to come back in?
Yeah.
Did you have something else to share?
Oh, okay. I was going to go on your new topic.
Okay. Well, you have something? Do you have something on self-esteem? I really want to hear someone else's opinion before I go into self-esteem and self-love and the people of the lie. Is that the one you wanted to discuss, or you had something on the other one?
I can go on with this one. I'm going along with the show.
Okay.
you know, I know people like this, and I think that they just, for one, I think some of this stuff or a lot of this stuff could just be DNA, genetics, inheritance, something they inherited. They really think that, I'm just going to say personally, my son is one of these people. And he lies so much that I think he believes it. Like, he rationalized sense into it to him. It makes sense to him because I really just said he like, I can't believe he's saying this, and I know it's a lie. He should know it's a lie. I mean, we even went to therapy and all kinds of stuff. I've been to parenting classes and everything on it. And I think with him, personally, my situation, it's a self-esteem thing for him. Like, and when we were in therapy and they got that wall to come down, oh, my God, it's so much hurt and pain in that, and they get so deep into the lies and stuff that they believe it, that they don't know how to fix it. They don't know how to fix it, and too much of dealing with that is facing yourself. And a lot of people, you know, can't handle that, and I totally agree with everything you said, Tammy, because that's the first thing that God came to me about was looking at me. But a lot of times in situations, you really need to look at the person in the mirror. Because really, I mean, that's all you have control over. And, you know, and still myself, I'm working on things. But with that child, I tell you, I was just like, I just think it's some real deep self-esteem things. And they just get so, I have friends that just, at any cost, like you said, just lie like they live in a fairy tale land.
And we talked about that. They know that you know they're lying. You know it, but we sit listen to it like.
Oh. But how do you even, you know, and you obviously you know some people like what I know. How do you even come at this person? I just let them talk. If it makes them feel better and they got to go through all this, I feel bad for them because it takes a lot of work to to keep up all them lies and keep up that facade.
Thank you for sharing. What do you think, self? If you have some opinion on self esteem and self love, how would you describe self esteem if you had to, or if you could? What would you just thinking about your son's situation and what he went through? How do you kind of pull together self esteem and self love and how it relates to people of the lie? Do you have any opinion on that?
Well, in his case, I would just say, you know, if you love yourself, you would not. There's just a lot of things you wouldn't go. To me, personally, I love myself, so there's just a lot of things I won't.
Right. Okay.
I just wouldn't do. You know, I wouldn't do because, I mean, it's just not that important to lie about.
Right.
You know,
right.
And as far as you say that again, self-love.
The self love. I think you basically kind of answered both
mm-hmm.
of them.
Because if you love yourself, you wouldn't have to tell the lies.
Right.
Yeah, you just would not have. It's a big difference between those two. You know, if you love yourself, you wouldn't go through a lot of things. You know,
Low self esteem. Means there's no love there. When they look in the mirror,
mm-hmm.
they don't see somebody that they love.
Mm-mm. And he even got in it. He really gotten into self mutilation and stuff with
and
that.
Even
you know,
more so showing right,
right.
No love self. You're so angry at yourself. You want to mutilate yourself. Wow.
Right. And it made him feel better. It really made him feel better. And then you know when that wall came down, he really revealed a lot of pain from like when he was 9. You know, a lot of stuff, just a lot, you're just like, what the heck? And I'm just like, you know, we provided everything for him. Some things I really believe, Tammy and Tika, that it is generational. It's just in your DNA. And it's just like cancer come out and reveal itself. It really does. Because, go ahead.
Coach, I was going to say that's interesting because part of what I was reading did kind of talk about it being into your DNA and also that we can also teach it as parents. So I'm going to go over that too. But there is a really good book if your son is a reader or if you think he will read it. It's by Scott Peck, and it's called The Road Less Traveled. It is
About that. I've been told to read that by a therapist.
Road Less Traveled, yes.
Yes.
I just I've
heard
about that book for years. But he's the same one that wrote People of the Lie. He's the same author.
Oh, okay.
I've not read a lot. Maybe I should get that one too. But I know this one.
He wrote that book too.
The Road Less Traveled.
Mm-hmm.
If your son will read it, maybe that can be something that you can have him get together.
He probably won't read. But you know, in my spiritual walk, you know, I just believe he's going through something that he has to go. And I claim the victory in the name of Jesus every day. And I
see if it'll come on CD or something. Do you think if maybe it'll come on? I'll check, and if I can find it that it's out on CD, maybe something that he'll listen to. But ask him anyway, and just see, you know, have a heart to heart, and see if he would commit to you all reading it together. That might work. And you can
Robert Peck, huh?
Clear
Slight. Yeah. What's his name?
Who is it again?
Scott Peck.
It's The Road Less Traveled. And it's by
just say the name of the title, and I'm going to Google it. Google the name of the...
Road Less Traveled.
Okay. I'm going to do that. Thank you.
And I'm going to go through a little bit and just all of this that... It's, a lot of this is coming out of what I got from his book. So stay tuned with us, and I'm going to go ahead and go through that, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for sharing again. Okay, Pochette made some good points, particularly about the self-esteem and the self-love, and I'm just going to read to you what self-esteem is described as, and there's two of them. One I find more, I guess, meaning in. The first one is self-esteem is a term used in psychology to reflect a person's overall evaluation or appraisal of his or her own worth, okay? And there's a second one, the positive or negative evaluation of self. is how we feel about it, okay? And that's the one that I like the most, the positive or negative evaluation of myself. Self-love is the strong sense of respect for and confidence in oneself. And the American Heritage Dictionary reads self-love as the instinct or desire to promote one's well-being. So that's your instinct or your desire to promote your well-being is a part of self-love. It goes on to talk about self-love can be taught in childhood through honesty, acceptance, and unconditional love. So it's saying we as parents or whomever, you know, you are to any particular child, that you can teach self-love through honesty, acceptance, and unconditional love, okay? It also goes to say since many parents or, who you know, whatever, it could be grandparents or whatever, are lacking, you know, in this area, they have so much self-doubt in believing or loving themselves and knowing their importance, and how can you teach it? I think you can. I do believe I'm one that I faked it until I faked it for in Brandon's eyesight. I don't believe that I was truly there at that time, but it was something that I didn't want Brandon to inherit, so to speak. So I think that even then when you do that, it comes to a point in life where you have to say, okay, I can't even fake it anymore. And you just pray and hope by then that you've instilled something in them to where enough that they can pick it up and move on as far away from the dysfunction as possible. Some synonyms of self-esteem are self-worth, self-regard, and self-respect. So that was interesting, but because we're going to be running low on time, I want to talk real quick about this study that, again, Scott Peck was a former U.S. Army, I believe, lieutenant, but not really important. And they wanted to create this study to where they picked the top 12 or some of the people that seemed to be most successful in all areas. They were promoted ahead of their contemporaries, so to speak. They were popular people, functioning families. Their children seemed to be happy. They were happy, just well-rounded people who they looked at as having the golden touch on the base. And so they took 12 of these people, and they did group studies, individual studies, for a length of time. And the people, as far as age, was late 30s, early 40s. And during one of the group sessions, they asked a question, and the people were not able to conversate or share their answers and so forth. They had no idea of the questions that they were going to be asked that day. But one of the questions that they asked them this particular time that they met as a group study, their assignment was to name or write down the three most important things in their life, just three. Mind you that these are people who were well-rounded, had the golden touch. Now, interesting things that came out of this, number one was that the first person to turn in the assignment, you know, during the study, took 45 minutes to get the first person to turn the paper in, and you're just talking about three answers. So that was interesting to them in this study. The second thing was that all 12 had the very same answer for number one, and that was myself. So, again, this is named the three most important things in your life, and everyone named first one, myself. Now, they say the second and third was kind of all over the place. And even though the first paper was turned in within 45 minutes, it still took some of them well over an hour to turn it in, but they still had the first one as myself. And this was a, like I said, a group study. It was, you know, monitored, so to speak. So that was interesting. Now, initially, I was kind of like, okay, that doesn't quite make sense to me. But in reading on and kind of pondering, it really does, because I don't think you can love yourself. If you don't love yourself, it's almost impossible to see yourself as God sees you and to know your worth and to know that you were created you know, an image of God. So if you don't love yourself, you can't clearly or freely or with your whole heart love God the way that you need to love him or see yourself as God sees him. I think when you become the first person you need to love is yourself. And I think this is kind of a generational thing. We weren't taught really to focus on ourselves. We look at that as a negative way or a non-Christian way to put yourself first. But it tells us if you can, I can't love you unless I first love myself. And I think that a lot of us, again, have been taught in such a negative way about that, and we've somehow given that on to our children, thinking that we always have to think of others first. And, again, I'm not saying you don't think of others first. You let God lead you what to do, when to do. And I think a lot of things we just jump out thinking, oh, it's the right thing to do. But I had someone tell me, yes, it might have been the right thing to do, but was it a thing that God was telling you to do? Because sometimes we jump so fast to do the right thing, we're hindering someone in growing in that thing, going through what they needed to go through so that they can grow through it, so to speak. So that was interesting to me, but that is a really good book for those of you who are out there and you like reading or you want to start reading. And, again, it's called The Road Less Traveled, and it's by Scott Peck. Okay, so a really good one. We have Tico. Do you want to try to, you want to save toxic relationships for next week or the next one?
Well, we did toxic relationships before, and, I mean, I didn't have a whole lot to say about it because we've done toxic relationships before, but it is the core of toxic relationships is low self-esteem. So we've touched a lot tonight on what low self-esteem is. And like you said, when we don't love ourselves, that, I mean, you can't love anybody else because you can't love yourself. You have to love yourself first. And you don't have a true understanding, like you said, of who God sees, who God created you to be. You don't believe
right.
that you're worthy of being truly loved, and because you don't see worth in yourself. And
right.
in these toxic relationships, we wind up choosing other people based on the value that we have of ourselves, and we wind up staying based on the value that we feel we're worth. And so when we feel that we're worthless, we tend to stay in more damaging toxic relationships, basically because we do not feel as if we deserve anything better.
Right.
And so
on to talk even more about the self-esteem part, and we were talking about that earlier today, you and I, where he mentions that it's so hard to get to connect with or really get to know a person who is known as a people of the lie, because he didn't say this, as we talked earlier today, Tika, when we talked about how one reason is so hard, because how can you really know a person who really doesn't know himself or herself? How can I get to know you if you don't know yourself, if what you created is based on lies,
right.
who you are is based on lies, how do I know you? I can think
right.
I know you, but I don't really know you. But he says that he was able to get to know as best he could a person that he perceived to be a people of the lie type person. And when he was asked what's the one most important thing to him, he said that his self-esteem. So regardless of what he was, if he felt like he wasn't, he was okay. If he felt like, you know, people, like if I feel important, if I feel like people see me as important, and that's getting into the purses, not always, I'm just saying, that could lead to wanting the nice things so that you look the part, so to speak, rather than dealing with who you are and saying, okay. Not why,
yeah.
but what, okay? Why is really irrelevant, because if I have an accident, why I had it, really, I mean, at the end of the day, is irrelevant. What can I do now?
Right.
Number one, you might need to move the car to the side of the road, whatever. But just why is sometimes we need to stop beating ourselves up with why, and deal with, okay, what now? What do we do
now?
What do I do
right.
to correct this and move on? And so that's
but
just interesting. Self-esteem is about how you feel or how you want to feel or how you want people to see you and feel about you rather than who you really are and have you dealt with those things. And rather than using the evidence and the bad feelings to make some kind of correction, as we said earlier, those people try to just try to exterminate the evidence. They just try to act like Pochette was saying, you know, she's like, why are you telling me this? Because I know it's not true. And that's right. The sick part. I mean, people of the lie, they perceive them as partly evil people because they are able to deceive themselves and you too. And people
and
have killed right. over lies, you know, not wanting a lie right. to get out because of how it would make them look and feel. Y'all, that's sick and that's crazy. So I challenge everybody to deal with your own issues, particularly if you are a parent, your mother, your father. Deal with your issues. Don't be afraid to go seek help. Don't be afraid to go. There's all type of free counseling. If you're in Memphis area, I can tell you about some free counseling that will just help you so much. And if you're somewhere else and you want to go, I'll help you find some. So don't be afraid. We've I think culturally, the African race, we've been taught, you know, not to seek help, not to talk about, you know, don't you let anything go out of this house. You know, we were spanked for stuff like that, if that's a better word for it. So I challenge you, all of you, if there's some things that you need to deal with, free yourself. Don't live in bondage another day. Right.
It's when you actually reveal it that you're able to heal from it. You reveal. Because when you keep it to yourself, the devil wants you to be quiet. He wants you to isolate yourself and not share it, because that's what's going to keep your mind stuck and you having that one quiet, idle mind with nobody knowing what's going on. But once you share it and once you reveal it, then that's when help comes in.
That's the only that's with everything. If you need help, don't be afraid to say, look, I'm struggling in this area, because you never know that God may be sending that person to be a ministry to you, to minister to you in that area. So I just want to say there's a difference. Say that again, Tika.
Well, I just want to say something about with the low self-esteem. That's one thing about getting yourself together and becoming whole, because when people with low self-esteem get in other relationships, you don't even know how to decipher what a toxic relationship is. You don't even realize you're getting yourself into a poisonous environment. So that's something you have no discernment, you don't recognize it, you have no clarity on what you're choosing, and there's it's like you're blinded. You actually have covers over your eyes, you have covers over your understanding, over your mental clarity, everything.
Life is a lie. Your life is just what you've made it to be. It's a lie. And so
they tend to run seeking solutions, and they tend to run to other people seeking solutions when the only thing they're going to run into, because they're full of toxic lies, they're just going to run into something more toxic and just create more damage in the end. So they're going to leave that they're going to, even whoever they run to or run to for relief, they're going to run away from that feeling worse off than they were prior to this relationship or prior to this union or whatever it is they're running, trying to seek and find healing in. So
Under 90 seconds, so real quick, again, we just thank you. It doesn't look like we're going to get to cover the items that we wanted to talk, the little housekeeping issues. We just want to say, you know, get someone in your life that you can always go to about anything. And never, never always be the giver in the group, always, is what I'm saying. When you find that you're the smartest one in the group and that you're the one that people are always coming to in your circle, find another set of people to deal with. Don't leave your friends, but get someone that can help you as well and that you can learn from. So with that being said, again, thank you, Tika. We have about 50 seconds or so if you want to get some words in as well. But thank you, guys.
I just wanted to close the show with scripture, and this is actually my favorite scripture, but I want to close with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And I love the King James Version. If there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who would not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And what that's essentially saying is that whatever you're going through, it's not uncommon throughout mankind. But since God is faithful, whenever you're tempted, he'll provide a way in order for you to endure whatever it is that you're going through. He provides the way out. It is through him.
So I just want to thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Butterfly Evolution, where our goal is to empower and to encourage those who are dying to live. So wishing you all a blessed week.
Thank you, guys. And, again, what Tika just said, that's God's confirmation that share what you're going through, because there's no one that's going through something that someone hasn't dealt with, or someone knows someone that has. And that's how you get your help, by revealing. But choose the proper person, the right person to take it to, so that they can help you go through it. Thank you. Please thank you all for listening.
Good night.